The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
Well, how's it going? And you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. The final Football Pod of the intercounty season. Yes, we're taking a little break so myself and James can focus on club commitments and Paddy can focus on his golf game over the next couple of weeks.
And my children, Tommy. And my children, of course.
And the Babas. Paddy Anders, James O'Donoghue, how are you both doing?
Fantastic, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. It's Sunday, the 2nd of August. We bought a club action yesterday. I don't want to get to it, but we'll come back to it in a minute. But today, there was three LGFA finals on. Antrim getting the better of Carlow with a one-point win in the junior final. It's on very early in the morning. I don't know how many of you caught it. Roscommon have had an unbelievable couple of weeks and months at underage and senior level in the LGFA. They won the intermediate title. A brilliant team performance there, beating Fermanagh. And then Kerry and Galway. It wasn't quite a classic in the senior final, but by God, did it have drama. James, it's been a tough week in Croke Park. Kerry beaten at the death after there was two epic Galway goals, both buried by Leanne Cohn, when it looked like Kerry had done enough to wrestle away that win. And then we had the drama of the last score of the game too.
Yeah, to be fair, it was a strange kind of game, wasn't it? It was very defensive. A lot of hand passing. The Galway goals, the first one was just a beautiful finish. Hit that with the outside of the boot into the roof of net. It was a beautiful goal. Kerry just struggled, yeah, to kind of get a bit of rhythm and attack. And then at the end, we'll have to actually discuss this out because was it a square ball? Like,
yes, it was. In the same end.
It goes straight in. There's no touch on it from a Kerry player.
But James, the rule is different in LGFA. So the rule is the ruler on the square ball from a set play remains the same in that a player cannot enter the small rectangle before the ball. So once the ball is kicked, do you know what I mean? So it's slightly, it's a little different.
Now, again, not the decision to give the free.
Should VAR come in? Do we need VAR?
Well, the decision, whatever about the actual, that decision, I thought the decision to give the free was actually a hindrance to Kerry because the free was outside the two-point arc, which is a very, very difficult kick. And the advantage, we were gone way inside the arc for the equaliser. I think Schieffer ended up having the ball for the equaliser. So it was a chance to win at the same time. It depends what you... In the men's game, you'd be delighted with it, but obviously with the longer kick, you know, it was a tough shot to win it. And another decision going against us there.
Congratulations to
Galway. I must say they were kind of hardy, weren't they? They were hardy and tough and physically.
Very well organised. I thought Kerry kind of, and they worked very differently. Like when the ball was turned over, particularly in the first half, I thought Galway were very good, that they'd kind of really set game plan. And Kerry struggled to kind of break it down. Obviously, like Sheehan O'Shea, the key person, nearly like Louise Moherty the last couple of seasons, trying to get her on the ball. But Galway, I thought it was a really good team display that, they were hard to break down, and then when they got the opportunity, Leanne Cohen, that we were on WhatsApp earlier, just that speed and power, and then the calmness to finish as well. So, but you know what I found odd, lads? Like the square ball is given, and you can kind of clearly hear it on TV. The referee's call, and Galway kind of seen, but the Kerry players just did not seem to hear it at all. And even like 20 seconds later, they're still celebrating, and it was like, I thought it was really clear that the whistle was blown and you could hear it. So it was a bit bizarre. It was a bizarre ending to it, all right, that two sets of players nearly celebrating.
And the fans.
The Hooter goals.
I'm not sure. I was watching an Instagram story by Fergal Lynch, who's a Meath journalist with the Chronicle, and he was in the Cusick stand side. So you can clearly see that a Kerry player has entered the square, but nobody can make sense of the situation. There's Kerry supporters celebrating, Galway supporters. As you mentioned, the Kerry footballers. The only thing I'd say about the advantage, James, as well, and look, I wasn't fully au fait with the LGFA rulebook until about half an hour ago, but there is only a five-second advantage rule in LGFA, and it literally hit the 5 seconds when Chief Rocher gets the ball in her hands, and she's kind of breaks through a tackle. So it's very, very unlucky, very harsh. But Galway... winning their second ever All-Ireland title. I'm telling you, there's not been many All-Ireland titles crossing the Shannon, and they've got two now.
What a week for the West. I'm going out West this weekend.
And the Rossies. Oh, beautiful. Where are you going?
I'm off to Connemara this weekend for 3 or 4 nights with the kiddos.
Nice.
So I might get a glimpse of the Brandon Mart when I'm over there. Tommy, in the midst of all of this last week, you were running around Croke Park as only you can. You missed myself and Jimmy were leaving. This is what we're talking about, refereeing decisions. Jimmy was accosted by the umpires from last week. For Martin McNally
I took the photo.
All over, and then we got stuck in the lift with them. We were like, oh, fuck, press that lift, get this out of here. They wanted a photo with the chief umpire basher in the nation, James O'Donoghue.
I took the photo.
Hey, we got a great photo.
Look, Jimmy, all's well. They appreciate
all is well that ends well. Exactly. And they had a great game. They had a great final. And that's what it's all about. We all have to hold each other to the highest possible standards.
That is true.
But no, that was funny.
that was a great moment,
to be fair.
That was Ben Woods and Mark Gilson in the photo with you. And to be fair, lads, did you see the photo of or the video of Martin McNally at the end of the game with his little daughter? She's probably only the same age as your own daughter on the field in Croke Park with him afterwards. Like, it's a massive occasion for the officiating teams too. That was his first Ireland final, and delighted
we
came through.
Tommy, we met them in the tunnel. And Martin came over to chat, and it was lovely. And then, like I say, you were hanging around the dressing room. I mean, Jimmy were heading out, and we're getting into the lift.
That sounds very Dutch. Tommy was hanging around the dressing rooms again.
Hanging around the restroom, and Herson was walking towards us in the lift, and we were like, fuck, press that button. And he's like, I'm coming for you. Like, we never
he's a big man, Herson,
you're a brilliant ref. And he's fucking ginormous as well, yeah. But he got that Herson's right with Jim McGuinness, Sean. Well done.
Yeah, Herson's good crack. Herson's good crack. I would not mess with Sean Herson. Yeah,
he's, no, and we weren't. We definitely weren't. Not to his face. No. Only on a podcast.
No, he's a giant. But James, you know what will be great actually, and it's something we hopefully will work on if there ever is a season 7 of the Football Pod, which I hope there is. Maybe us doing a kind of behind the scenes Football Pod with maybe an officiating team. Maybe we could mic you two up as umpires as well behind the goals for some sort of a game.
Whoa.
I think we could have a bit of fun.
Responsibility, Tommy.
Tommy, have you seen the size of my glasses? I cannot see 5 yards in front of me. I'd have no chance. I'm always quiet when Jimmy starts giving about the eyesight.
They don't take eyesight into account when they're picking mostly umpires.
Now, James.
That would be a good idea. Tommy, we need to start brainstorming some of these ideas, because every so often we come across a great idea and then we just forget it.
Well,
we need to make sure we start.
The first game of the National League next year, we'll join Martin McNally's team, management, referee team. Wherever that game is, we'll be part of the referees committee for Martin McNally.
Whatever's kind of closest
to Dublin, we'll do that one.
Try a few challenge games first, maybe. But I genuinely think it'd be great to get inside, because the preparation that they do as well for these games and the build up and the training.
Huge.
Yeah. You know, they were, exactly. So look, it's an element of the game we definitely should dig more into. Fellas, I don't know if you catch any of it on Saturday morning, but there was an Australia versus Ireland game as well, live on TG Cahir. And look, at Australia, we're very strong. It's an international rules game, but with the, do you pronounce it the Sharon, the Australian rules football? But some of the moments in it were just glorious. First of all, the Irish kit was, I know we had a class Football Pod jacket last week, but the Irish kit was so cool. I loved it. It was like USA 94 vibes. Oran Naveen being sung before the game. Some of the moments in the game as well, there was a superb goal, a couple of brilliant goals. Blind Bogue was class from Fermanagh. And some of the Irish team put in some big performances. It was pretty cool to see it. And, you know, with all the talk of Kobe going beyond, the talk of Andy Moore and putting in a call to Oisin Mullin to get him back.
I heard that was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? I heard that.
Hey.
I'm surprised they didn't leave him. Well, I suppose they'd be setting the pure precedent if they did leave him. But
He's been so good, Mullin.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be tuning into a bit more AFL over the next couple of weeks. Next couple of weekends and stuff, because those two seasons are going to be pretty feisty.
There's probably no doubt that Kobe will make it over there, won't he? Like,
I think so. I think
he's gone. Yeah, he's just
Jones, got it, like Jimmy, he's very like Pierce Hanley. You went. Tell me, did you ever see Pierce Hanley play?
You played with him, Paddy, didn't you? I did.
Yeah, but he was that. Pierce Hanley was that, just like glides across the ground, athleticism, like could sprint, could do, like Colby last week, do 100 sprints in a match, not a bother on me. He just had the natural balance and agility and athleticism. And you have to remember then, Colby's got all the ball skills as well.
And did Pierce have the same panache that Colby has?
Pierce Hanley was absolutely savage. He was so good. Wow. Like, if he's been his whole career with the Brisbane Lions. If he'd
he was incredible. Yeah, incredible.
If he'd have stayed with Mayo, against us, yeah, could have been a few different results there. But Colby has that natural, you know, he's just natural athletes. Like. But like, yeah. I think the best thing for us as GAA supporters would be, maybe you want him to go and enjoy it and experience all of that for 4 seasons and then come back.
Yes.
Back in his early 20s. And maybe then have an 8 to 10 year career with Mayo.
But imagine his transformation physically. Like, they'll put him on, you know, a very smart program, obviously, to build him up, but also build him up to be an endurance athlete. So he's not going to be bulky. He's going to be the perfect physique for GA as well by the time he does come home, if he does come home.
He'll be some athlete.
Yeah. Do you remember Mark said he went over with a load of injuries? They tidied them all up for him.
Yeah.
Do you know, they know what they're at over there. I reckon he'll be a huge success.
You see the photos of Geelong and Mark O'Connor, the videos of him playing, like, he's like an Adonis going around the place. Like, he's just, and then Irish guys naturally have the ball skills, like the kicking side of things, and then you put in that athleticism and the speed and everything that Colby had. Like, that was a standout thing. Again, we're lucky enough to see him 3 or 4 times in person this season in the championship. His agility, like, you know he's going to come back onto his right foot. It's like he's going full tilt and he can just stop and turn so sharply. He's going to have an unbelievable career down there.
Who was the down centre-forward again that went over?
Marty Clark. And he came back.
But do you remember he dinked the ball up on the run?
Yeah.
Over in Australia. And they lost their marbles. I was like, whoa, what is this?
I've never seen this bloody thing before. It's awesome.
But
all those little skills, like, that probably take it for granted here, mind blowing over there. Like,
yeah.
It's Connor crazy McKenna, early in a way. Like, but
Connor McKenna selling a solo dummy, and they could not believe it on commentary. But, like, lads, the ferocity of the hits as well, and it would have been seen. Vicky Wall nailing like an absolute textbook shoulder that we haven't seen in Gaelic football for 20 years from behind on one of the Aussies on Saturday morning as well. There will be different sort of hitting, and obviously the men's will be on another level altogether in terms of weight and power. There'll be a different sort of hitting that Kobe will have to get ready with as well. So I think he might have to get used to
maybe, he'll be all right, Tommy.
Maybe he'll building himself up. Will he get straight in? It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting.
Well, he's going over with some amount of confidence. He's not going out there, you know, unsure of himself. There ain't going to be any imposter syndrome for Colby McDonald going over to Australia.
I don't think so.
Do you know?
His mum and dad are going with him, so it'll help him settle in. Because he's 18. Jeez, I went to the Leaving Cert when I was 18. I couldn't wait to go home. That was 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like,
so you go for 2 weeks?
Jimmy, I'm still recovering. That's what my life expectancy dropped about 15 years on the basis of those 2 weeks. But with his mum and dad going with him,
it's brilliant.
You can't underestimate that. Like, what an experience. Yeah. And Jesus deserves it. Like, what a way to go, as he said himself. To you, Tommy, as he said to you. Yeah,
Asher, look, you're so impressed with him when you chat to him. And when you chat to, as I mentioned last week, his mom, his dad, you know, the people around them, they've done a really good job. Because, you know, we've seen it with David Clifford, James, but on a totally different level. Just how David Clifford has been able to deal with the incredible attention and the want that people have from around the country, kids going crazy for him after matches. And it was a totally different effort for David Clifford, but you got to have really good people around you. And you've got to be really level-headed to be able to deal with that, especially in a country that's as small as ours.
Mm. Well, I'd say Colby probably got into a different level of recognition and everything over the last couple of months. I'd say Clifford must be tortured, like, do you know? Even around town and things, Killarney's obviously kind of a touristy holiday destination as well, so you can imagine people from other counties coming down and they're seeing him. And he gives his time to him. Like, it can be weighing on him, on fellas, I'd imagine. Like, you know, if there's constantly, you know, someone to look out for or to get in contact with. So, no, I think, like, you need people around you because your life is different. I'd say they have a very set, structured life because they just can't. There is an element of fame to the Cliffords and to fellas like Kobe, you know, which is probably hard to deal with. Like, it probably wasn't around before. They're kind of the first. I remember the Gooch, actually. The Gooch used to work in the bank, and there'd be a queue out the door if he was on the teller to meet the Gooch. Like, nothing about banking. Just jerseys going up to be signed and everything, and he was working on the teller when he was young, when he was training into the bank. But I suppose he would have been in the same category, really, even higher, maybe.
Remember Shane O'Donnell got the hat-trick?
Yeah.
2013 hurling final, and the same type of thing for him for a couple of seasons as well. Like, it's hectic. Like, it could be great at times, but Jesus, I'd say. So Cliffy's a little boy as well, doesn't he? Like, just.
Yeah.
Mad. But you'd like to think GA people kind of look out for them, or not, for all those type of players, that they're protective of them in a good way, you'd hope.
Yeah, I suppose David's teaching as well. You know, he's like, I'd say you'd be landed back into reality there going into a Leaving Cert class in the sim. Do you know, like, I don't think they're going to let you get too carried away with yourself either. Do you know, they'll take the mick out of absolutely anything, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's clearly not in his nature, his DNA either. It's funny, Kobe McDonald very strongly considered a PE and geography course in UL as well when he was putting the CAO options down. With the Leaving Cert this summer. So I think that's what David Clifford did.
The
same course. Okay, fellas, we have a bit of a task on our hands over the next little while. We're going to pick the Football Pod Stars, our team of the season.
Tricky this year, Tom. Very tricky this year. I found it tough.
So many
Every
options.
Time we do this, we get abuse from high heavens, Tommy.
Paddy,
remember
Paddy.
One year we picked the Tata Cup team and the whole of Cavan was coming for us.
Yeah, they did.
We only put like 8 Cavan people in and they're like, no, it's a fucking disgrace. Like,
yeah, I remember
this
who
is
we left
very
off.
It's subjective. Go easy on us, please, friend.
But hey, we're gonna get stick anywhere. We're just trying to appreciate the people that deserved a bit of appreciation this year. So there's a couple of awards as well that we wanted to do, and it might, because look, there's so much football played before the All-Ireland series, I think we might pick a Provincial Footballer of the Year from each province.
Okay.
We'll try and pick. Okay. I think this is the 16th man award, the Impact Player of the Year. So if you have any shouts for this,
Impact,
it can be somebody who started games, but maybe only an impact some moments, or somebody come off the bench. And then we might do a goal of the year, a point of the year, a save of the year, a block of the year.
Oh,
anything else that comes to mind, right? So look at that. We're going to start in goals. Okay. Well, basically, how we've done this is we've each picked a 15. We haven't shown each other the 15. They were all sent in at the same time. So we have slightly different teams and we have certain areas that are fairly nailed on. The full back line and goalkeeper one is fairly nailed on, but there's one or two decisions to make. We've all gone for Shane Murphy.
Nailed on, but there's two decisions we made out of four.
Out of four. we're all totally agreement. Shane Murphy.
There's one. There's one decision to be made, sorry. Shane Murphy in goals. Yeah, Jack Livingston and Rory Began obviously getting big shout outs for their impacts across the season too.
I think Livingston had a great year. Like, the amount of saves that man had to make. Yeah. I'd love to do a count. He must have made the most saves ever in a season for an All-Ireland winning team.
I would say,
like, no All-Ireland winning team has conceded that many goal chances in the run up to when they eventually became stable at the back. But there was a period where they were conceding goal chances.
He got from the Monaghan game, didn't he?
Yeah. I'd say from the Monaghan game, there was two brilliant saves in the Cork game. There was the Monaghan game, and then obviously in the Meath game he made it. Do you remember the light save he made from Kieran Caulfield when Caulfield was through on goal in the
Meath? Meath hit a couple of wides and put one over the bar as well. But he made a brilliant save at the end of that Meath game where they done all the hard work and Caulfield got through again. So, and the Began thing, lads, like Began missing against Louth, like that, talk about like the worst injury for a team of the season. Began missing that Louth game when Louth went down to 14 men. Like, our Monaghan are looking gone. If Began's playing that day, Monaghan win that. Either in the All-Ireland semi-finals.
Mm. Probably.
Anyone come close to Shane Murphy, or why is Shane Murphy, you know, far and away the standout pick?
Jimmy, you take that.
I think Shane came in and had pressure on him because everyone, I suppose, knew that Shane Ryan is Kerry's number one goalie. And then people were soon shocked at how do Kerry have two goalkeepers of that level. Do you know, like, he stood up and he performed every round of the championship. His kickouts were on point. His ability under the high ball, which is questioned, was fine, not an issue. And do you know what? That save and for Kobe's goal chance in the All-Ireland final, it's a pity for him. Obviously, the Kerry loss is a huge pity for him, but that would have been an all-timer of a save. If Kerry had won that, I think it would have gone down in the history books. It was like, it reminded me of Dudek's save in the 2005 Champions League final after Shevchenko, when just hits him in the head and goes over the bar.
Yeah.
It was such a brave save and a great save to keep Kerry in the game. So I think he's had a great year. Kickouts were sensational. He's an unbelievable kicker and shot stopping. And the fact that he wasn't Kerry's number one and still delivered under pressure. So I definitely give it to him.
100%. One of the easiest decisions on this team. There were two or three other ones, but that was like slam dunk. Shot stopping, incredible.
Okay. I was just listening back to interviews I did after the Cork Mayo game. So Shane Murphy's our goalkeeper. And the Sunday game actually did this as well. They named Sam Callanan number two. All three of us have gone for Sam Callanan. I'm not sure the GC, the Sunday game team of the year, I had beforehand, but Callanan was a turnover monster. In the Cork game, in the Loud game. Like, he went on Gavin White for much of the All-Ireland final. For me, Sam Callanan was a banker for this team, whether it's two or it's five. We've a lot of contenders for the wing-back slot, so I'm happy to put Sam Callanan number two. Maybe it edges out somebody else who could have been worthy, but I'm happy to put Sam Callanan in there.
All those games, Tommy, you think of when Mayo's season turned and they became this, they would go on to become the All-Ireland champions, that team, it's from that... say the second half of the Meath game onwards, where it feels like the penny drops. Andy's alluded to, it was like we finally got everyone on the same page from defence without the ball, and Callanan was so key to that. So key to that, that like a Croke Park footballer, the athleticism, one of the ugliest points ever scored in an All-Ireland final, but such an important one that it gets there. And just that ability to take out a key opponent, set the tone defensively, get up the pitch with the ball as well. I know they've had high hopes from over the last couple of seasons, but I think when you look at the tide turn in Mayo's favour to go on this All-Ireland run, he was so pivotal to that as well. Mm. So, yeah, again, slam dunk for me.
Our full back line, the other spot that seems to be a banker for us is Jason Foley being named at number three. I think, James, you said the last day, if Jack had his time back, would he have left Jason Foley on Ryan O'Donoghue? I think he had Ryan O'Donoghue tied up for, you know, early doors. O'Donoghue hadn't really got away from him. And it's just kind of when Conroy's brought on that O'Donoghue has just kicked the two-pointer. Mike Breen is on his boot when O'Donoghue goes for it. And then Foley actually fouls Conroy in the first few seconds he comes on. But Jason Foley had a mighty year, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He did. And I suppose in a turbulent year for Kerry defensively, you know, with injuries and, you know, Brian Begley injured, Tom Sullivan injured for a lot of the year, Gavin White injured for a lot of the year. He was the stabilising force back there, the ever-present, your full-back, solid, ever-present, rarely injured, if ever, and always gets the hardest marking job. And he never, I'd say, have I left a game going, geez, Jason got a touch there. Like, he's always coming out 50-50 at worst, and deserves awards this year for his season, 100%.
How many All-Stars? He must have a couple of All-Stars by now, does he? I think he's a banker for this one. But
I'll tell you now,
I have notes done on the teams. If you give me a second, I'll tell you how many he has. But
while you're doing that, Tommy, Munster final and Stephen Sherlock.
Yeah,
absolutely. Eat him and Sherlock will go for that on alone, and have a brilliant summer. All Ireland semi final on Conn.
Yeah,
keeps Conn. I think Conn gets 1-2 pointer. So and he didn't have a bad final. This would be his third All Star. That's a right little career Jason Foley's putting together. And those points that you made, Jimmy. Jason Foley definitely an All Star. When a lot of the other senior established defenders were out, he was there. Class. And yeah, I agree. put him on Ryan Dunning for the whole thing. Jesus, I think they would definitely look at that, take that one back.
I'm going to leave number four slot free for a moment, and I'm going to leave the number five slot free for a moment, because I believe we have three contenders for each of those. But our number six has been a banker for quite a while. It's the man from Loud, from Monitor Boyce, Niamh Martin, Darragh MacDonald, the man with the go-go gadget arms, the fetches this boy was making this summer, the leadership he showed, some of the points he kicked. Like, yeah,
quality on the ball.
Like, Darragh MacDonald was a colossus this year, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he wait till you see what else he does in his career. Like, someone of his age to have that, what the impact on the championship this season as well, but the impact on that team, like you say, it's kind of, is he six? Is he playing at midfield as well? You know, himself, Callahan, James Maguire as well. These young guys that have come through the underage system allowed, but MacDonald, that quarter final, we were in awe. You know, they were down to 40 men against Monaghan, and he just literally every single kick out, he was winning in the air. So, but his quality kick and scores as well, that brilliant game, their win over Armagh, one of the games of the championship in Inniskeen as well. So, I think he's an absolute banker as well for an All Star. And Loud haven't had many over the years. Obviously, Mulroy and Craig Lennon, Paddy Keane, and those guys, but I think Darragh MacDonald is a shoe in to get one as well.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant. James, we have all settled on the same man for left half back. He's from Tubberclare, a club in Westmead. He was ravaged with injury all year long. His season should have been over multiple times, but he scored 1-4, 1-8, 2-8, 2-12 in the championship this year from 7. It's Matty Whittaker, part of the Leinster champions, Westmead. Whittaker, obviously, Westmead's summer ended a little earlier, 21st of June, ended by Monaghan. But they had a mighty run this year too, didn't they?
They did. Unbelievable season for Westmead. And Whittaker was key, absolutely key. Brilliant on the ball, pace, fitness, energy, skill levels, absolutely top notch. And I heard him talking in an interview. I don't think he made, did he not make the minors or something like that? And he re-emphasized a point that I make sometimes, is that,
that was an off the ball, that chat, yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Do you have to get that plug in?
He's looking right on the overlap there. It's no matter what. Like, I'm all about Bukayo Sacco. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about that? Kai
But Whittaker, yeah, he was saying he didn't make the minors, which is a good thing at times, because it makes you question, do I really want this? Am I willing to put, you know, a lot of sacrifices into to make it? And he obviously had that burning ambition to still go and do it. And it probably put him ahead of a lot of fellas who had made the grade at that underage, who stagnated. And to see him progress, win a Leinster, probably pick up an All-Star this year, is a credit to him and a super season. Much deserved.
One of the stories of the championship, and kind of toss up, because like that whole, when they turned teams over and they flew up the pitch, like Mark McHugh, that was the way Mark McHugh went to playing. Himself and Ronan Wallace, Sam McCartan maybe two letters, but I don't think Westmead are going to get two All-Stars. I don't think. Because they didn't make the quarters in the end. They'll definitely get one, and I think Whittaker will probably nick one over Ronan Wallace, I would say. But the notable
Wallace was so good
mention for Ronan Wallace as well.
I love Ronan Wallace. I think
exciting,
he's such
to watch,
a leader,
aren't they? Like, yeah.
Yeah, and in fairness, I think McHugh, if we're going manager of the year, he has to be in the shortlist. But the way he had them playing, buzzing up from the halfback line, and Ronan Wallace, like, takes on the responsibility constantly with shooting, kicking, freeze. He could miss, but he'd be back again. He's up and down the field, he's challenging in the air. I think he had a great season as well. I would actually have the two of them probably in the halfback line. But as you said, Paddy, that's probably a stretch. Okay. It's probably a stretch for
I'd have wanted it.
Number five. Who are we settling on number five then?
So that's it, right? So we've got to decide on number four and five. Multi Farnham's Ronan Wallace, I think 115 across the championship, very unlucky as well. Westmead captain. I'm sure that'll cushion the blow of missing out slightly on this team, if he misses out. So we have to decide number four. I think we've got two contenders looking at the players that we've named so far, and it's the Mayo captain, Jack Coyne, and it is Enda Hessian, who played with seven on his back, but obviously can play cornerback as well. Other players that are worth a mention, Connor Dillon from Westmeath started with 12, but did man-marking jobs throughout on the likes of Jordan Morris and plenty of others across the season, came back, and Mark McHugh used them as that kind of Swiss Army knife. Niall Devlin, I thought, had a really good year for Tyrone. Davy Byrne from Dublin had a big moment as well and a big year when Dublin needed a defender to step up too. So I think it's Hessian or Coyne, lads, going off the three teams we've picked. Who wants to make the call on this one?
How much does Jack Coyne's speech come into this?
as much as you want.
That's got to be worth some serious credit in the All-Star selection. Tommy, you're going to be in the room picking these All-Stars. That speech is worth at least 4 points from play, I would say.
Yeah, it was a great speech, to be fair.
Iconic.
You know, Jimmy Hugo, I have a preference out of them. But Jimmy, you go on.
If I'm being honest, I'm not overly passionate about that area of the field. Right? So I am willing to give this one a pass. But I would give it to Jack Coyne because Hessian wasn't playing in the corner. And I do think that my personal opinion about these awards are you have to be the best in your position. I don't like if you're playing two that you get an award at seven. Do you know? If you're playing the position, are you the best there or not? So that's why I think Jack Coyne is an out-and-out cornerback. Leader, captain, and as well as the great speech, he had a couple of tough marking jobs all summer and did well, so I would have him in.
Coyne was under big pressure early in the championship, internally in Mayo.
Really?
Getting big calls dropped. You know, Dimmer Rossi obviously.
Was tough.
I thought some of the criticism was quite harsh. I think it was maybe a collective issue with Mayo at times and obviously in the Meade game as well. Like,
100% it was, Tommy. 100% it was. Because they were getting chances to bed the band.
Yeah.
And it was only as the summer went on that they started tightening up. So that is harsh criticism. And as well, I find with defenders, one bad day out can ruin your reputation unfairly. It happens a lot to fellas where they play, you know, one or two bad games and suddenly it's the end of the world, he's useless, which is not the case.
You were being about Tom Sullivan and Shane Walsh in the 22 final. That's exactly what you were saying.
That's right. Exactly.
The minute you said that, I was like, Tom Sullivan and Shane Walsh. That's what you're saying.
Coyne had big moments, right? I have to say I am quite passionate about this one. I think Enda Hessians.
You make the call.
I think I'm going to make the call on disposition. I'll let you make the call.
You're the Mayo man.
I'm not. I did play for Mayo back in 2012, by the way, in Boston. I should have made that clear before the championship.
The Mayo fans coming for Jimmy, Tommy? We've got to call out. That's not.
I'm not happy. I'm not happy with this. What do you bloody want? Like, somebody who's soldiered with many players in that field who his own father played with Kerry himself, won an All-Ireland with them, lost All-Ireland with them. What do you want James O'Donoghue to do in the minute after Mayo have just won the All-Ireland? Like, do you want him to be smiling and clapping and laughing and jumping around? I don't know. I struggle with that.
I have your back on this, Jimmy. Jimmy, me and Tommy are
going to thanks,
lads. Paddy.
I appreciate it. I agree. Paddy. Yeah, because it's fine. Obviously, we were in great form after the game. 10 or 15 minutes later, we were delighted. Jimmy, I was delighted for Mayo. And I could see all the good in the stories and see the emotion. And we covered it on the radio. But for that couple of minutes, like the anxiety levels when we're looking for the equaliser is through the roof. Tommy fucking grabbed me, trying to sit me down and keep me quiet. And then obviously
we're like bowling school losing. Kids, the two of us. Sit down.
We have 30
seconds left in the All-Ireland final.
We're going live on radio.
I don't care about the radio, Tommy. We didn't care about the radio. We wanted to watch the finale to one of the greatest All-Ireland finals ever played. Like, sit down. I honestly felt like it was in first class again.
And then obviously you have the disappointments initially straight after the game. Like, it's hard to shake it off immediately. But well, I think we've brought it.
And Tim and Ambrose are nudging you in the back, trying to climb over you as well. Like, Tim, we're live on air, buddy. There was
a beautiful moment where Tim and Ambrose
there was
embraced Martin Kearney and Stephen Grealish, and that was lovely. But James, I have to say, as someone who's worked here for the last 5 years and has done the pub with you, I was very proud with how you handled it. I didn't know how you were going to be able to stomach it. And I thought you played absolutely due deference to Mayo about a minute after the final whistle, you were able to compose yourself. I would not have been able for that. You were able to do it. I watched my own club, Meath Hill, win an intermediate title a couple of years ago, and I was watching from the stands on my own, having transferred to Cratlow. It was one of the most difficult matches I've ever watched. I was physically sick watching that game. Like, when you're watching your teammates or people you played with before in a match, it's absolutely horrific. I don't know how you did it. So look, well done to you. But there is one moment. Look at the WhatsApp group. Paddy, there is a screen grab where you do appear to be sewing it into James.
I saw that. That is classic. I think he's just looking at me rather than eating. And it's a great photo.
No, I was, you know, I always have Jimmy's back. I love Jimmy. So
I know. You just couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe what I was saying. Like the rest of the stadium. But no, you know, I have a lot of time for Kerry, and obviously for
I know
Kerry,
you do. I know you do. There was one dodgy screenshot, but screenshots never tell the true story.
What was I kicking off on there? Jeez, I don't know.
No, you were just looking to see my reaction, I'd say.
Maybe.
But it was funny because we were all on different buzzes, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You were very much Mayo, obviously, Tommy, which is fair enough. I was very much Kerry, and Petty was just embracing the whole occasion. It was just vibes like three different
things. Like, this is the great stuff.
James, I think it's unfair to say I was very much Mayo.
I don't think
I was
so,
trying to capture the moment. I was trying to capture the moment.
And Tommy, you were great, but you were pro Mayo from the whole match.
I was pro Mayo
from about the second half, but you were
I'm a neutral. I was pro the story. I just wanted the story. Yeah. I wanted the final. I wanted the final the season deserved. And if Kerry had rescued that game from the jaws of defeat, it would have been epic in another way. It would have been epic in a totally devastating way for Mayo. And I just think it was a brilliant game, and huge credit has to go to Kerry, because we know that they were on fumes getting into the end of that game. That's a story for another day, but we know that they were on fumes coming into that final, and Mayo were able to take advantage of it. I think Jack Coyne is unlucky, but he just misses out in the football team of the year. I'm sticking Enda Hesham in the back.
I was with you, Tommy. I was Hesham.
Yeah,
I was.
Because of the Meath game and because of the All-Ireland final, because young Owen McGrail has put on Paddy Clifford. Actually, while we're on it, Paddy obviously had a huge impact on the game. What was our read on McGrail's role in that? Because Owen McGrail being brave enough, the Mayo management, to tag a 19-year-old on Paddy Clifford, he's in his face all day long, doesn't give him the same space that other teams have given him, but it freed up Enda Hesham to run every single one of Mayo's attacks at a defence. I personally thought it was a masterstroke, but maybe it was brave and a Mayo just about to survive by the skin of their teeth. But Paddy obviously comes into it massively in the final quarter when McGrail goes off as well.
Yeah, I think McGrail definitely had a good day, because he goes off after 55. But Paddy really starts dragging Kerry at that stage. Like, the leadership that Paddy and David showed, I thought was incredible. When a lot of fellas, as you said, were on fumes, weren't performing, the tide, everything was, you know, probably going against Kerry at the time, and the boys still plugged away. So I think he would have done that anyway. But McGrail definitely, he's come out of this season in a great place. He's going to have a great
for him, isn't it? Like all the focus of the teenagers is Dara Byrne and Colby, obviously. Naturally, the forwards get a lot of that. But McGrail, to be given that job, you know, shows what faith Andy and the coaches have in him. You know, and you're thinking two of Mayo's best ever defenders are in the background team there, who would have done that role throughout their careers, and they're going, you're the man for this. Like, so I know he had a tough time in the Meath game. And again, I'm also, when you're talking about Jack Coyne, Tommy, where, you know, the system around him probably wasn't helping. I thought that was the case for McGrail against Meath as well. He was just caught, you know, a couple of times, but he learned from it. I thought he had a big final. And you're marking Paddy Clifford. The best players are going to have an impact no matter what you do. Like, it's how you can curb that. And he definitely did that in the final. So I think, I don't know if we're doing young player of the year, I think the three young player of the year nominees will probably be the three Mayo lads.
The three boys.
Dara Heenahan, maybe, from Roscommon. Was Dara Heenahan available for that?
Dara McDonald, maybe.
Dara McDonald,
there's a lot of good young players.
Stellar cast for the young player of the year.
What's the age again? 28, isn't it?
22.
Is Kenny O'Connor in the mix this year?
Maybe. Let's keep going. Number five, right? So we're going to be quick here. There's a couple of contenders. We have, between us, we've mentioned Ronan Wallace. He just misses out. David McBrien Stephen O'Hanlon and Craig Lennon, three very different halfbacks with three very different seasons, all with huge impact. Stephen O'Hanlon obviously could be a half forward, but he came back to do a couple of big halfback or jobs in the halfback line. Craig Lennon, such a huge blow going off in the All-Ireland semi-final, has won his All-Star before, but an epic player allowed.
For me.
Yeah, and McBrien, obviously, like the leader of that Mayo defence in many ways from six, and just such a huge influence in the final as well. James, what do you
think? I really like Ronan Wallace. I actually put forward Craig Lennon. I don't think many people might this year, but I just think he's so important to Lowe's. Like, if I'm just looking here, in the Armagh game, he kicked three. You know, three from play, every time from wing back, he's just standing up. He gets 1-2 against Dublin when they beat him. Like, he's constantly, not only the half-back line role, you tend to get a lot of possession. That's why all the half-backs are, you know, after going up a level, really, you get a lot of possession. But he's delivering scores, like goals, important points constantly. And his ability to get his team out of defence, which was ultimately his downfall with the injury when he took on his man and beat him three or four times before going down. But I think he's just a brilliant player and had a great season, even though he was coming back from injury. So I did nominate him, but I'd have him behind probably Wallace, who, and I don't think either of them will probably get in, will they?
It's going to be very close. It's going to be very close. Paddy, I might leave it down to you, this decision. I've gone for Stephen O'Hanlon myself. I just thought O'Hanlon maybe he'd go under the radar.
I'm with you on that. Craig Lennon is a brilliant player, but he missed the semi-final. Like that 20, again, what might have been, Loud, I'm sure, would have put up a much better fight. He was key to getting Loud out of that Mayo press. And he was brilliant in that Armagh game, that winning, his famous winning in his game. But O'Hanlon, for me, it was at these games when they beat Roscommon and Westmead up in Clonus. And Monaghan's story this season, I think they should have something to show.
Yeah,
I don't think Stephen O'Hanlon will probably get an odds there, but more importantly, he'll get a football pod, team of the year award, maybe one of the jackets. He was brilliant in terms of
we should do that.
Dropping back to pick up, a man marking
what a prize that would be.
But then his transfer up the pitch to create overlaps for like Monaghan had a brilliant season. A word on them having lost all seven of their games and relegated to Division 2, and you're thinking, my God, this whole thing has gone sideways. And Gabriel Bannigan and Monaghan, they nearly win the Ulster Championship. They nearly a begging injury, so he could have been in an All-Ireland semi-final, and O'Hanlon was key, along with Jack McCarron and Conor McCarthy and these guys. But his move back to Mad American and running from deep, and the fact that he was at these games as well, so it stuck with me a bit more. Ronan Wallace, brilliant.
Yeah.
Craig Lennon, injured. For me, I'm with you, Stephen O'Hanlon.
A couple of other shouts in the half-back line. Graham O'Sullivan and Mike Breen from Kerry had big days across the season. They were huge for their team. Charlie McMorrow from Dublin, one of the young lights that stood up for the Dubs.
Positive.
And Tiernan Kelly from Armagh had a hell of a year and scored one of the goals of the season. Maybe not the goal of the match in the game that he was playing in, James, if you remember the debate we had that night or that weekend. Tiernan Kelly's rocket against Derry. I can't remember which
goal. What was the other goal? What was the other goal?
I can't remember which goal won it.
In that match?
I'll have to double check.
It was at it.
No. Was it in the same game?
It was the fella from Manning that got injured with Crucius.
Bobby McCall.
Different game. Yeah. Same weekend.
Different game. Yeah, okay. Lads, midfield. Two players.
No, before we go to midfield, Tom, because you mentioned Graham O'Sullivan there and something just came into my head. Because Graham was getting hammered online as well. I don't know, did you see it the handshaking system? Did you see the video of the handshakes? Where he was going through the line and you know, sometimes when you're in those handshakes before the All-Ireland final, I don't know if people know, right? You shake your hand, and it's like a lot of people will say it's your first chance to kind of psychologically lay down a marker, right? Now, I don't personally think that, but so he's going along the line, and I think he's trying to kind of just hold eye contact with every player and just kind of say that I'm not backing down today, whatever. And he gets, I think it's Dermot O'Connor, he gets to. And
I think it was Jack Coyne.
No, he misses Jack Coyne. So he gets to Dermot O'Connor, and Dermot just kind of holds his gaze past him, so Graham ends up kind of looking back, and as he looks back, he misses Jack Coyne altogether and doesn't even shake his hand by an accident. And I think it probably came across like he snubbed him on purpose, like that Roy Keane. Remember Roy Keane in San Siro to Ronaldo? And
well, look at the man. Look at the man beneath you here, Paddy. Was there not a famous handshake gate with another O'Connor between Dublin and Mayo?
The O'Connor's lads, jeez. Oh, Killian, yeah.
Killian and Paddy. Was that was an accident, wasn't it?
Completely and utterly accident, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realise. The same thing, it came out online. Do you know when you get to the end?
Yeah.
So I was at the end for Dublin and Killian was obviously at the other end. And laughing at it. I honestly didn't even see it. And then it was like, you get it on your phone like the next day going, oh, look at this. And I was like, I honestly didn't even fucking remember that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, not yeah, really. I felt, he's getting a bit of stick, is he? Jeez,
I just felt sorry for him because he's not that guy. Like, he's not the fella who's going to do that or disrespect the fella in the handshake. It's just not him. So well, it was just unfortunate.
Worth mentioning, James. Fair play for catching that one.
Midfield,
right. I know that. Yeah, midfield. Shouts for Pat O'Coffey Byrne and Con Kilpatrick, who had big days across the season. I have Jordan Flynn in this conversation as well as the half-forward line because he played in both positions. We've all actually gone for two midfielders. Mark O'Shea from Kerry is one. I think Mark O'Shea was epic across the season for Kerry. I do think Mayo probably had their most effective game as anyone had on Mark O'Shea. I think a couple of the Mayo lads deserve credit for that. But Mark O'Shea had a huge season for Kerry and, like, what a man to fulfill a role for your team. And then Jack Kearney, Andy Moran has already said it. We mentioned on the pod, he's most proud of Jack's transformation this season. A fella with all the ability in the world just needed to unlock it and start pulling the trigger in county football.
The 2-point king. And two massive two-pointers in the final at massive moments. And that kind of the transition from early in the career out of wing forward, he's moved into the middle. And I think both of these players, I think Mark O'Shea from the quarterfinal last year against Armagh has just gone up to, like, talk about moving up levels to become one of the best fielders in the game, and Kearney alongside. Patter, I wouldn't have him in this conversation. Con Kilpatrick, yes, definitely. Man of the match at Armagh, they nearly beat Armagh in the Ulster Championship, and he's brilliant against Kerry that day as well. But for me, these two were easy. I have Jordan Flynn in somewhere else. I don't know if you do, Jimmy. But
we're actually in trouble here, right? Because James, I think James, you do have Jordan Flynn in, do you?
I do.
Paddy has Jordan Flynn in, and
we're different at centre forward.
Yeah, and me, because we have seven forwards proposed for six spots, and this is where it gets really tricky. So, in the half,
I think this
line,
is going to be tricky in the All Stars as well, Tommy. I think they've got a big decision to make around All Stars / Young Player of the Year, which they normally fucking fudge around like.
I agree, right? So we have three players.
Yeah.
We have four players in the half forward line. And we have four players in the full forward line with the same player moving between 14 and 11. So Ryan O'Donoghue is named at 15 in James's team and he's named at 11 in myself and Paddy's team. Okay? So
tell me, why don't you go, who are the absolute nailed on to get them and work back from there?
Clifford,
yes.
Clifford, Ryan O'Donoghue.
Ryan O'Donoghue.
Yes. I think Jordan Flynn is nailed on.
Well, he hasn't got three shots.
I'm not sure. No, I'm talking. I'm not sure. Kobe is nailed on.
You didn't pick him,
Tommy. I think they might try and give one either Kobe or Dara Byrne an All Star and the other one Young Player of the Year.
Possibly.
I think that there's not. I'll tell you what, Kobe ain't missing out. Like he's
I think you'll get one, but I think Dara Byrne is equally as valid for an All-Star.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dara Byrne's free. The free that Dara Byrne kicks in the first half was such a huge score. The goal that he buries was such a, the kid had some of the moments of summer. The thing about Kobe though, like
Kobe's
fetches getting this year.
Kobe is going to get an All-Star. Like
Kobe's fetches. Kobe's runs from deep. They were in a world of their own this year as well. He played such a different role. So,
We can pick our own team. We don't have to go at what we think the All Star is going to be.
Let Tommy Duff the All Stars with Marty Morrissey.
Yeah,
we'll pick the football team.
I'll be honest, lads. I'll be honest. I think our decision lies in Jordan Flynn, Paddy Clifford, and Niall Scully. I think the three of us are picking Ryan O'Donoghue, Byrne, Clifford, and Kobe. Or am I wrong on that, James?
But Ryan O'Donoghue, Clifford.
No, that's
Byrne,
my
Kobe,
that's my those four that's my half forward line. That's my half forward line. I've gone with Scully, Paddy, and Flynn. I'm happy with that. I think
so
that they all deserve it.
Full forward line. Then. You're not giving Dara Byrne one.
No, which is unfortunate. But he's in direct competition with David Clifford, and it's I just go, I have to go with David Clifford. Like.
Okay.
So it's 13 David, 14
Ryan
O'Donoghue, and 15 Kobe.
Okay. And the only case I'll make here is, and I've already said the moments Darabern have, I think, James, the half-forward line you picked is the all-star half-forward line. I think it is the all-star half-forward. I think it will be. Obviously, I can't predict that.
But I wouldn't let that affect our selection. I don't want to guess the all-star team. I want us to genuinely have what we think.
The one I had different from you, Jimmy, was I didn't have Paddy Clifford. So my half-forward line was Niall Scully, Ryan O'Donoghue, and Jordan Flynn. I think Jordan Flynn absolutely deserves one. I don't think Mayo win the All-Ireland without him, and I think he'll get one. I think Scully, the entire season, like even when Dublin were staring down the barrel in the National League, he's been Dublin's best player by a mile. I think he'll get one. And this kind of goes against... the semi-final and final carry so much more weighting than...
It does.
And Paddy was sensational in the All-Ireland semi-final. Kerry's win over Dublin.
And the quarter-final.
The quarter-final, not as much, but yeah, he was getting back to form. You could see once he got to Croke Park. So yeah, and then he'd have a great final when Kerry needed it with himself and David. So, I don't know.
It's so tough.
So Paddy probably should get one. So then, I'm leaving out.
I think he should. I think Paddy deserves one.
And what about Niall Scully? Is Niall Scully definitely getting one after getting to an All-Ireland semi-final?
I'd definitely give him Scully one.
Yeah, Scully was a big part. Yeah,
Scully was sensational.
He was more than just performance as well. He was like the symbol of dragging that team back.
Yeah,
do you know? He was like, you could tell he took a lot of responsibility on his shoulders and delivered.
They might not give him one. Maybe the All-Stars, they won't give him one.
The All-Stars will have to give Dublin one.
I don't know.
Probably when he gets an honest. Well, Tyrone didn't get one. Martin's on the hurling panel. He's not on the football panel.
Are you the loudest voice in that room, Tom? Realistically, like, you are picking the All-Stars.
I'm not the loudest voice in the room. I have lost more debates in that room than I've won. I am rowdy. I am rowdy in the room, but I don't. There's too many chiefs. There's too many chefs. I would say is the issue with the All-Stars.
Who's the GA plus? Does Grania do hers?
Grania's definitely on one of them. Is she in the football one? I think she's in the hurling one. I can't remember who's in the football one from GA Plus. I'll have to double check it. It could be Grania. We have to make the decision. I made the tough decision at cornerback, so I'm going to let the two experts make the tough decision with our forwards. 6 and 7 don't go. Let me remind you, we do have other awards to get through just before we wrap up. I know Hugo has to go to bed as well, Paddy, so we got to get to this.
I can hear him.
James O'Donoghue?
Like a little cornered rat.
What's your six?
I want Paddy in. I think he deserves it. I think I am a big believer in the semi-final, final, counting a little bit more. The pressure is bigger. It is a little bit weighted higher.
Okay.
So I think I'm happy with Jordan Flynn.
Okay.
And I'm happy with Scully.
Okay. Are we going with that? What if we go Dara Byrne then for our young footballer of the year?
I would. This could be sacrilege. Would you give one to Dara Byrne over Kobe? And Kobe, young player of the year.
It's close. It's
such a toss-up between Kobe and has Dara Byrne got enough credit? Because I know Kobe is amazing, obviously, and the focus on him over the last week and the whole summer, to be honest. But Dara Byrne has been sensational. Mm. He's a kid as well. Like, they're all kids. Somebody think of the children.
And can't win anything with kids. When I saw Dara Byrne the first time, I remember thinking.
It was my first time seeing him.
It was okay. I saw him with Mayo, and I remember thinking, this is exactly what Mayo needs. He started throwing the hips around the place, the dummy hops, dummy soars. Yeah, kicking from either side, kicking both legs from the 15 slot. Like, I think he is a brilliant operator.
I was talking to Dara Byrne's father, Kevin Byrne, this week, and he told me that he has always been a fan of the James O'Donoghue dummy. So before you go with a bus here, impact things?
He's in.
I think put him centre forward. I would build this team around him.
Tommy, did you say he listens to the pod? He listens to the pod as well. Did you say that?
Friend of the pod? I think season one, I'm not sure if he was listening this year, but when he was 14 or 15, when season one of the Football Pod was coming out with Andy Moran.
Dara Byrne and Peter Canavan listened to the pod.
Football Pod OG. I think Dara Byrne is our Young Footballer of the Year. I think we give Kobe our Football Pod star, and I think we give Dara Byrne our Young Footballer of the Year because the kids.
Okay.
No, I don't think that's a cop out. I think it's representing.
It's a straight toss up. Ryan O'Donoghue has to get one because he was the man.
He's the man.
Really,
he's the man.
Clifford has to get one. So it's a toss up between Kobe and Byrne, and we're giving one award to each then.
Okay.
What's
did
the
both get
award?
A jacket? Did they both get a football pod jacket?
One gets a mug, one gets a jacket.
We'll rock on the jacket.
We need football pod mugs, Tommy. We said this.
We do.
We need mugs.
Because I love a cup of tea when we're doing the pod as well. Yes. And it'd be nice to have football pod mugs.
And hey, thanks to Alan Foley, as I said in AF Gear Sports, go check out his stuff.
The jackets are class.
Three exclusive jackets. The jackets are cool. A lot of people said
we're getting a lot of inbound queries for them, aren't we? I hope that the makers are getting the same queries we are.
Hopefully. Okay, we're going to rattle through these lads. We're nearly finished our final football pod of the year. James, before we get into it, I just want to say congrats. You appeared yesterday for Legion in the Championship. You got a big win.
We did. We won the first round. It's a group, though, so we have a very tough group. We're playing Lone Rangers and Listowel next now, so we have three games in the group. So we won the first against St. Mary's. So Kerry, Brian Sheehan, third trick. So
David Brady go to that Lone Rangers match, Jimmy? The Mike Frank derby, he hasn't been seen in Castleknock in 8 days. Well, there's a search warrant there for David Brady.
What a man!
On a great performance at the up for the match. I was shocked when I saw him at it because I'd say he had a tough weekend of it. He had a long tough weekend. Week. He was there since Thursday.
Hope he's all right. I hope David Brady's all right.
He is. He's good.
He's a nice fella, sound man. Good crack.
He had a lovely bromance.
Great crack.
He did. But you got it. You got a win in group one. That's good. Fair play. Well done.
Yeah. Did you play, Tom?
We did. We got a bit of a scuttering. We played Air Rogue in Ennis, who are chasing their third championship in a row. We managed to stop them going for three in a row back in 2023 when we won it. So hasn't been pretty the last 2 years in round
one.
Any
black cards?
No, but I did get what I would deem a very soft yellow card after 28 minutes. And there's a rule in Kratlo, if I get booked, I get whipped off. So I was taken off then. So
thinks you're a liability after a yellow card.
He knows I'm a liability after a yellow card. But I will say that my whoop showed how much pressure I was under in that first half. And I was in level 5. For 25 minutes of the 30 minutes of the first half. Level 5 heart rate.
You should show them your GPS because both of those things are far more important than the actual game these days.
Yeah, I was under a bit of pressure, so maybe it was a good thing.
That's what a week celebrating a Mayo does for you, Tommy.
Now, in fairness, I was feeling sorry for myself. And then Conor Loftus, I hear, came on for Cross Malina on Saturday in a challenge match against Selbridge and played 40 minutes of that match. How on earth he managed that after the homecoming of all homecomings, I don't know, but fair play to Conor Loftus. Right.
Read out the final team.
I will. And then we'll do our Football Pod Team of the Year. Shane Murphy in goals, Sam Callanan, Jason Foley, Enda Hessian, Stephen O'Hanlon, Darren McDonald, Matthew Whitaker, Mark O'Shea, Jack Kearney, Niall Scully, Paddy Clifford, Jordan Flynn, Ryan O'Donoghue, David Clifford, Kobe McDonald. So that, in my reckoning, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Mayo men, 5 Kerry men, 1 Loud, 1 Monaghan, 1 Westmead, 1 Dub. Our Young Footballer of the Year is Dara Byrne. Our Footballer of the Year, is it David Clifford or is it Ryan O'Donoghue? I'm going Ryan O'Donoghue.
Ryan O'Donoghue.
The man.
Ryan
our Impact Player of the Year. A couple of shouts. Tommy Conroy's been coming off the bench from Mayo and having big impacts. Darren McCurry, who shot the bloody lights at Manningtown.
Darren McCurry. 10 points against Kerry. What a privilege to be at that game.
I'm going for the Dazzler.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Absolute box office performance
against Mayo.
Yeah, sensational.
And it's a forward show, really. Jimmy didn't even want to name six backs in the team of the year. So we're going with Darren McCurry.
We could have said a preset there, actually. We should have gone a different formation. Do you know the way in the soccer when they could go 4-4-2, 4-3?
Yeah, yeah.
4-3-3. What would you have gone? 5-5-2-7.
Yeah. Okay.
Innovation, Jimmy. That's what we're talking about.
I like
Just
that.
Just have three backs.
Just write back. Down that idea, that's Tom. That's another idea. Write it down.
That's right.
Because these get forgotten.
Marking it down. Here we go. Okay.
McCurry, I'm going to
rattle through these. If you disagree with me, shout. Ulster Footballer of the Year, Oisin Conerty.
Whoa.
Turbot.
Possibly. Or Stephen O'Hanlon, if you want to. Leinster Footballer of the Year, Ronan Wallace. Connacht Footballer of the Year, Dara Heenahan. And our Munster Footballer of the Year, David Clifford.
Yeah, I'm not going on the provinces either, really. So
Heenahan or Murta. Murta, like that performance against Mayo.
True.
In the Connacht final, maybe. Heenahan and the goals. He's one of the stars, early stars of the championship.
Manager of the Year, how many contenders do we have here? Andy Moran, Mark McHugh, Jack O'Connor, anyone else?
Gavin Devlin,
yeah. For sure.
Well, Andy Moran is Manager of the Year.
Naturally so.
I got Andy first, McHugh and Devlin. Yeah, McHugh and Devlin, top three.
Okay. Like McHugh, some jobs McHugh, as well, to be fair. Getting through those injuries to the final.
Yeah, for sure.
What about Jer Brennan? Jer Brennan, like, talk about a little break.
Yeah. Jer Brennan missed 3 months of the season.
Wasn't his fault.
They said he was only there 2 weeks and got him to the All-Ireland semi-final. Absolutely remarkable.
Imagine he was there for 12 weeks.
He was in the laundry bin. He was in the laundry bin. He was there.
Okay,
Who's referee of the year?
We'll give it to McNally. We'll have to give it to McNally and his team. Okay. These are the last four, and then we're wrapping up the football pod for the year.
Sean is crying at the door here.
Okay. Goal of the year. We have a couple of contenders. We have Kelly's Rocket, as we mentioned. We have that unbelievable Bobby McCall goal with the move from Beggan's interception. Dara Byrne's All-Ireland final goal. I genuinely think it's up there with, you know, Declan Meehan's back in the 2000 final.
What about Dean Healy? And the Celtic Cup final. Side foot to the top corner.
Absolutely.
What a moment. Beautiful. Of the
season. That
a big moment.
Ross McGarry's goal against Kerry.
That was very close to being a goal. I was thinking about it for a moment.
I was racking my brain there. So that wasn't over the line, Betty. So
sorry. Okay.
I don't want it to be biased to the most, you know, recency bias here, but is it Dara Byrne's goal? Like, I'm not sure I've heard of
him. It's a huge moment. Is that the best goal of the championship? I don't know. Tiernan Kelly's goal was outrageous, lads.
But James had Bobby McCall's that weekend, and maybe it is Bobby McCall's for the move.
Tiernan Kelly's, I'd have, and it was a great goal, but I'd have a third out of those three. I think McCall's was the best. Burns was the best moment, though, wasn't it? And even if you look at Burns' goal, right, he gets it. He has to slow down, so he has to get it. Check, look up, see where Murphy is. He opens his body to put it to Murphy's right. But as he's dropping the ball, he changes his mind and puts it across Murphy's body. So technically, I think that was a great, great goal.
What about Sam Mulroy's goal in this game? Talk about the whole championship turning on one goal. The whole thing. Going to start the Kerry season the following weekend. It finished off Armagh, who what a moment that was.
Is that
do you reckon Armagh could have rattled it? Could Armagh have rattled the All-Ireland if they got over that?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, 100%.
So is Sam Mulroy's goal our twist of the year? Yeah, we'll go with that.
Maybe twist of the year. Yeah.
Okay, point of the year. I have Jack McCarron's 2-point sideline equaliser versus Derry.
Yeah. Wow.
Hard to remember them all, but it has to be up there.
A couple of good Kobe ones.
Kobe's spinning against Loud.
Beggin have a couple of long frees.
A couple of big frees off the deck, yeah. I just think
McCarron. Yeah, I like
Clifford. Clifford's right footed two-pointer. Ryan O'Donoghue's two-pointer in the 62nd minute, which kind of seals the deal.
Yeah. And do you remember, actually, lads, on that, I actually took a screenshot of it, but I stopped myself from putting it up because I was getting a bit too deep into the final. Ryan O'Donoghue's free after the hooter against Loud.
Yeah.
And Ryan O'Donoghue's two-pointer in the 62nd minute of the All-Ireland final, 2 weeks apart. There's about 4 yards in the difference. They're in the exact same angle. And obviously, one's from play and one's from free. But isn't it no harm that he struck it the same exact way he did it 2 weeks before that?
What about a John Heslin two-pointer when his first game back in the Leinster final? Left footer.
Yeah.
one of his first touches back. That was an unbelievable moment as well.
Comeback, comeback of the year goes to John Heston. Fair play to him. Okay.
But maybe McCarron. McCarron's outside of the left.
Yeah. Against Derry. Okay. That was a great moment as well.
Save of the year. One of Jack Livingston's 72 saves or Shane Murphy and Kobe in the All-Ireland final with his Temple?
Shane Murphy.
I'm sure there's one at Livingston. Probably is. There's a great save in there somewhere. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
I give it to Murphy.
I give it to Murphy too.
Murphy had a great save on Conn. Huge save onto the crossbar, which would have put Dublin 6 points up. That was a huge save. Flies out of the goal as well.
Yeah.
And for me, we've seen a lot of flying blocks this year. The block of the year is Keith Evans stopping Michael McKernan's 2-point effort as he fell and one hand out.
That's Conor Gormley-esque when they won the... If Kerry went down and won the All-Ireland, that block would have been like Shane Murphy save off Colby. That was Conor Gormley 2003 level blocks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of all I've got. If there's anything else you boys want to shout out, I'm happy to wrap us up.
No, my son is having a meltdown at the door here, okay. So I must leave.
Paddy,
podcast of the year?
The football pod.
Football pod?
The BBC social.
There's plenty. To be fair.
We'll never win that award.
Exactly. You're all spoiled out there, but thank you for sticking with us across the season, and thank you to Movember. The Football Pod is brought to you with thanks to Movember, ahead of the game, already reaching over 16,500 players, parents and coaches across Irish clubs with the tools to look after their mental health. Please do go check it out. Visit aheadofthegame.movember.com to find out how you can be a part of it. I love being a part of the Football Pod. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thank you very much. We are taking a little break for a couple of weeks. We'll be back with some club action. Hopefully Cratlow are in a better place. Hopefully the Legion are in a good place in a couple of weeks' time when we're back. Paddy Andrews, you be good watching from the sidelines.
You just look after your bodies. Tommy, keep the head. No more black cards. No more suspenses. Jimmy, just come back to us in one piece. What a summer. What a season again, lads. It was good crack. It gets busy, doesn't it? What a privilege to cover this championship.
We need a golf game together at some stage. Maybe when we come back in 2 weeks.
We'll end up out in Mayo at something. So I'm sure there's a lovely new course out there in our Westport, I believe. So we'll have a look at that.
But Mickey Connor's take is out now, isn't he?
Yeah, well,
the island.
That's in Dublin.
There's one. Declan Hannan's bringing us out in Adair. That'll be lovely. Yeah. Let's have a look at the Ryder Cup before we get going there. We'll sign off on that.
David Tubberty always looks after us if
we
want.
Tubbs, we'll be down at Doonbeg. Yeah, Trump is coming to Doonbeg on the Saturday and we're going on the Sunday, are we?
That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds like the right
job. Right, boys, I got to go. Savage, good luck.
Paddy Andrews, bye-bye. James O'Donoghue, thank you. Bye-bye. And to everyone else,
boys.
See you later.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Slán, folks.